This is Sports is Fun on CITR 101.9. CITR.
To another episode of Sports is Fun.
Hello.
So this is the March Madness special. Yes. I hope you listeners know what March Madness is.
We've all caught it, and we're here to give it to you.
Yeah,
we're here to pass it on. It's pretty good show coming up, I guess.
I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Actually, very good show. We have a very good guest today.
That's true.
It's extreme baller from UBC, Tommy Nixon, absolute legend.
Yeah.
Just finished his final season as a T-Bird. And we'll be talking to him in a bit. But first, we got to talk... Well, before we get started, actually, we got to apologize.
We always do.
A couple errors on the show last week, but considering how long the show was, pretty clean show. I'll just keep saying show. For this, we apologize. Daryl Strawberry, we said, played... Was it third base?
I think you said first base.
First
but
base.
That
yeah,
might be wrong.
He plays right field.
Or he played right field. He's
played
retired.
Right field.
He's
well, he might still play, but anyhow. Well, maybe he plays first base. Also, we said at one point you were like, name a WNBA player. And I said, well, I didn't say anything. You said, how about, yeah, what did you say?
Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, technically, you could be former WNBA player. She now plays for UMMC. Ekaterinburg in the Russian League.
Yeah, she's a traitor to the great nation of America.
Yes, she went red for basketball.
Yeah.
That being said, just one note before we get very mad about the Marchness. UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team season came to a close, but a happy close. It was a great season for them, and we finished off with the bronze, the Canadian Nationals, so...
Pretty good.
Third best squad. I actually watched the semifinal game. They lost to McGill in overtime. I watched it on cable, basic cable.
Wow.
That's how good the season was.
We made it.
Was that we made it on basic cable.
Started from
what, streams and live?
Started from sitting. I don't know. I've never been to a game.
So heartbreaking loss that one game was, but very entertaining.
Hey, third is still pretty good.
Yeah, and third, they were able to pick up their boots and carry it on to a third place victory.
Basketball players do not wear boots.
I don't know. What do I know about Sprouts?
Sprouts' farm.
But yeah, kudos to the women's team. You bring us great honor. And now it's time for NCAA.
Okay.
So you want to know how this is going to work?
Yeah, break it down for us.
All right, here we go. Sean and I are going to pick three different things. We're going to each pick our winners, who we think will win, dark horse that we think will go deep into the tournament, and then biggest first round upset. And of course, we'll have to explain why. And so, do you want to go first? We'll start with the winners. Who do you think will win the whole shebang?
Okay, I'll go first because I'm going to go with Kentucky. So anyone who knows anything about college basketball, well, at least in the states, NCAA college basketball, is that Kentucky is a mammoth team. They haven't lost this year. They're the favorites to win the tournament by far. I think their odds are even, like, against the field.
They're 32-0 right now?
Yeah.
I think they're said to have, like, the best basketball university team of all time.
Yeah, I mean, they have five players who are going to each be, like, top 15 picks in the draft. Like, their team is stacked. So
do you think people had to listen to this show to hear that Kentucky was going to win?
No, that's why. But that's the thing. Like, you're going to pick someone who's not Kentucky, and it's going
to
sound it's going to sound interesting.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I don't want Kentucky
to
win.
That's why I told you to go first.
Yeah, I don't want Kentucky to win. But if we're looking at realistically who has the best shot, when they have as good of a shot as the other 67 teams combined, you kind of have to go with them. You know?
What was the statistic? Somehow they had, what, 40%
chance? 41% chance, I saw, was some metric of winning the whole tournament, which is insane. Usually it's like the favorite will have maybe in the high teens, if that, low 20s.
Yeah, so they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying. Wisconsin.
The Badgers.
They'll take it all, the Badgers. Yeah, I think if anyone has a shot to beat Kentucky, which I think they will play against one another in the final four. Yeah, in the semis. So here's why. I think they move the ball better than anyone else in the country, and that's how you beat Kentucky's D. You can't just send it into the post repeatedly because Kentucky's too stingy and they're too smart.
Yeah, they're
huge. So with great ball movement, and also, like, Kentucky forces a lot of people to earn their points, and people have been saying, like if you shoot lights-out three-pointers, maybe you'll beat them. Who can do that? Wisconsin. They're a pretty good three-point team, and they've moved the ball. So I think on offense, it shouldn't be too big of a problem. But also, they have a defense to match Kentucky's. So it would be a what did Kevin Garnett call it? Knife fight? Is that what he said?
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyhow, no, it'd be a bar fight for sure. But I think Wisconsin's too athletic. Well, they're not too athletic, but I think they're athletic enough that they could really force Kentucky out of the tournament. That's my pick for the win. I'll go for dark horse because. I don't want you to take mine.
Okay.
So my team, who I think will go very deep, would be the number 12 seed in the in the Southern region, which would be the Stephen F. Austin.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I'm thinking the Lumberjacks are poised for a surprise run. They play such a grinding physical D. And they have a very good three-point game. Three-point games can sort of make or break you in this tournament, obviously. If you're hot, you're hot, and if you're cold, you're cold. And they also, they're very good on foul shots. And so, I don't know, if they can grind you out on D and then, you know, get their turnovers. You know, I don't know, I can just see it. They have a good matchup.
Where they play?
Starting, they play Utah. Ooh, I can't remember what they're called. The Utahs.
The Utes.
Are they actually the Utes?
They might be the Utes. Just their nickname. Maybe not. The Utah Utilitarian.
Yeah. Anyhow, I think the most important factor, as we've seen in previous years, is who's hot going in.
And yeah. And
Stephen Austin is hot. Stone Cold Stephen Austin Lumberjacks are very hot. They went 1-3 to start the season. And since then, 28-1.
You got these stats.
28-1.
You're so prepared for this.
Yeah.
I'm not. So yeah, you have your info in front of you. Me, I'm just doing it live. Doing it raw.
Yeah, you're looking
raw dog.
Who's your dark horse?
All right. Well, I don't. Last night, I went to the bracket briefly.
UBC is not in.
UBC is not. I remember having Providence going pretty far. Now, they're not like a huge underdog. I think they're a 6th seed. But I had them making Elite 8. Now, why? I can't tell you. I can't remember. I don't have my bracket in front of me, but something compelled me to pick them to go far. So there you go, people. That's my pick.
Okay, first round upsets.
Texas over Oregon, although I've seen Texas favored in that, and purely by seeding, that's an upset. But in terms of actual like line betting, it might not be an upset, but I think Texas has a good chance of beating
what
Oregon.
What are the seeds?
I think Texas is 11.
Okay, so yeah, I'd say that's an upset.
Either team is going to lose to Kentucky in the second round, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's true.
But that seemed like the biggest obvious mismatch in terms of seeding. Like,
mm-hmm. Here's my first round upset. I'm about to blow the doors off this place.
Here we go.
I got New Mexico State to beat Kansas.
Wow,
so that's a 15 seed to take down the 2 seed. Kansas isn't looking very good.
They
lost in the tournament, and there's something like 5-5 in the last 10. I just alluded to how hot the other team was, 28-1. They're 5-5 in the last 10.
But
their key players have been hurt. Perry Ellis is, they're saying he's not exactly healthy. He played pretty shootily in the tournament, and then they have another key player out. Franklin Alexander.
I don't know any of
whatever his name is. That might not be his name even, but he violated some rules. Anyway, and also if you look at here's some more stats.
Hit me with them.
New Mexico State is really bad at turnovers. That's like their main thing. But Kansas is really bad at scoring points off of turnovers.
So they're not going to get punished off their weakness.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Kansas might.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you heard it here first. Maybe any of that will happen.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Question, how does it make you feel to know that most of the players in the tournament are younger than us?
Oh, not good.
Yeah, pretty bad, right?
They're also bigger, stronger, better looking, more capable, smarter.
Yeah.
But we have a radio show.
And I think we have a break.
Yeah. See you soon.
It could be global, trance, spoken word, rock, the usual and the weird, or it could be something different. Oral Tentacles, Thursdays 12 to 6 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
Totally.
Talo sumida.
What was that?
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
It's time for some insightful discussion.
Let's do it.
I don't know if we're ready for it, but we're going to do it anyway. March Madness is so big.
That's what I said to my...
yeah. So, like I was saying, yeah. Like, people go nuts over this. One tournament, you know, it's often said to be the greatest sporting event of the year in the world, really.
Well,
and
that's debatable in the world.
Yeah, it is debatable.
Yeah.
But I don't know much about other cultures. So my question is, what makes it so special? And I think it sort of boils down to the fact that it's not professional. It's a university game. I don't know what that would be called, amateur or just student.
Amateur, I think, is.
Yeah. Okay.
They're not being paid, so they're amateurs.
Okay. And so the question is, what makes such a big difference? Like, if that's the difference, what are the ultimate causes for what makes it so special? Or why is, like, what are the big differences? I think the first difference is staring everyone right in the face at all times. It's money.
Yeah, the players aren't getting paid. So, and for most of them, they're not going to be paid to play basketball in the future. So this is, like, their last chance to shine on a big stage. This is the biggest stage that they'll ever play on. So I think you're seeing people play really, like, really hard. Harder than...
Balls out, right?
Arguably harder than players play in the NBA in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
they don't have a personal agenda.
Exactly.
Really, they want to win the championship.
Yeah, for 99% of the players, they're not going to play at a professional level, so this is it. Mm-hmm. So,
and even for the ones who do play at a professional level, they know that the teams are looking for the winners.
That's true.
You know, like if they see you out there playing for yourself, then I'm pretty sure that's a turnoff.
Well, a big tournament can elevate your draft stock, and if you get, you know...
Yeah, like, totally.
I remember when Kevin Durant got picked second, he had a really big tournament that year. He played for Texas, and he tore it up, and he went up.
Yeah. Look at, like, Anthony Davis much more recently.
He didn't do a lot in the tournament. He was just kind of, like...
They won, didn't they?
Oh, they won, but, I mean, he wasn't a scorer. He was just a big, tall guy who would,
with the unibrow.
Yeah, he would get 2-4 points a game and, like, 15 rebounds. He just, like, just a big tree underneath the basketball.
Well, hey, it all counts.
Yeah.
Big tree with the victory. Yeah. But, so, I mean, you hear, like, all these mega stars talk about their university days, and they're just so, they speak of it so fondly. It's like, the people on their team are their brothers. They're all playing for each other, because they're all going towards the same goal. Whereas, like we said, in professional sports, where they're getting paid money, it's, the incentives are different.
Yeah, well, they're getting paid money, you know, if they win, it doesn't really give, they don't make more money. If they do, it's marginal, so, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't have a competitive spirit and you don't really care about winning, then, you know.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't be on either of those teams anyway, right?
I mean, you could play professionally and not care about winning. Definitely.
Yeah, to some extent. That's sort of an argument for another day. The way I like to put it is that when you're playing a university game, like, the people, your teammates are your family. And they will be like, you're banded together forever. And when you play professionally, you're cogs in the machine, you know, like, you're an organization, not a family anymore. Your coach is your boss. Whereas a lot of people say when they're playing university basketball, for example, their coach is more like their father, you know?
That's true.
He's yeah.
Well, the coach for college teams has a lot more authority over the players. He has a lot more control.
As he should, right?
Yeah, but in professional sports, the coach usually makes much less than the players, and the coach is usually the first one to get fired. You're more likely to replace the coach than to replace, you know, a star player, I would say.
In college? or in,
no, in
professional.
Yeah, so the coach is much more influential, and the guys are younger, they're more
impressionable. They need to be, yeah, they need to be molded.
Yeah.
Your coach,
teaching them how to play, really.
Yeah, your coach has such a bearing on what kind of man you become. Well, I shouldn't say man, what kind of person you become, because obviously there's, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
And but these are kids who, like, you look at, like, the Randy Mosses or, I don't know, other people who misbehaved. When they were in university.
Randy Moss never did anything wrong. What did Randy Moss ever do?
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's a great guy.
No, he smoked the reefer. Anyhow, he went to he eventually found a coach that would, you know, help him out.
Kept him in line,
and he gave him a chance. And oftentimes, it's like coaches who are in those, like, smaller tiered colleges, for example. Like, that's sort of their,
like,
last
Butler.
Chance too. Yeah, like your Butler, your Rutgers. I'm not sure how small they are, actually.
Let's talk about Butler for a second. Let's talk about Brad Stevens, who is the coach of the Celtics now. So
okay.
He took Butler to the NCAA championship game twice. I think they lost both games, but still. Butler's a small school. It was unbelievable both times they did it. He goes to the Celtics. So he's a college coach. He's young. He's never played professionally. And the Celtics have a pretty terrible roster, but they're winning because I think he coaches them like he would coach a college team. They're all a bunch of young guys who wouldn't be playing for 90% of the NBA teams, but because of that, he's able to coach them up.
So do you think that ties back to what we were saying? Like, do you think they're playing as though they're more tied together?
Yeah,
close,
I think that's exactly
what's happening.
Knit? Yeah, and that's pretty unusual in
the
NBA.
But could you do that with people who have been in the NBA and making heaps of money for a long time? I think you sort of have to cater towards that.
I mean, yeah, if you look at their roster now, it's all young guys for the most part, besides they have one or two older guys. I mean, if you have just a few of them and they're willing to buy in, I think you can do it. But if he was, like, coaching, for example, let's think of a team that would be dysfunctional with him as a coach.
I don't know, the Lakers probably.
Yeah, the Lakers, I don't think Kobe buys in. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you have a team with
And
big
Lin is like, I don't know what the guy's doing. I used to love him.
Yeah, he used to have his jersey.
Yeah, it's true. I should have, yeah, never mind. I was going to say I should have got all of Lin's jerseys, but that's such a dumb thing to say.
That is.
It'd be like $40 probably would still be a huge waste of money. Almost like paying Lin 20 mil. Like the Rockets
did. Is that how much he got paid?
Yeah. Anyhow, considering we're so off topic now, I close the discussion unless you have anything else to say.
No, I got nothing.
All right, well, we'll be back soon with an interview from second team All-Canadian basketball super hunk T-Bird Tommy Nixon.
Yeah, and I will not be interviewing because of technical difficulties, but I'm there.
I'm going to place a call to him right now, so it's going to start right after the break.
All
right. Bye.
This March 20th at the Wise Hall, She, a night featuring a powerhouse lineup of women making their bold mark in word and music, including Purple Heart Social Club, Lady Jams, Jeanette King, JB the First Lady, Immortal, and headliner Natasha T. Miller, a Detroit spoken word artist, followed by a dance party with DJ Kukum. This is a 19-plus event at the legendary Wise Hall, 1882 Adenac. $20 gets you in, plus a copy of Kimmortal's new album. Doors at 8, show at 9. For more info, go to kimmortal.com/shows.
Hello, welcome to the show. Welcome
Thank
to
you.
Sports is Fun. Have you ever heard of us before?
No, I hadn't prior to this.
Well,
no.
I guess there's a first for everything.
Yep, absolutely.
how are you doing?
Good. Yeah,
yeah.
It's had a long day at school.
Yeah. What what did you learn?
It's more a study day. You know, working on a group project.
Oof, those are always fun, eh? What are you taking in school?
I'm in kinesiology.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, so this is my last year.
Yeah, so you only have a couple weeks left, eh?
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
Final midterms, final projects, all that stuff.
And bittersweet.
Yeah. Good term for it.
Yeah, totally. Let's just get on with the interview. Let's talk
sure.
hoops.
All right.
So, first of all, congrats on the great season, you know, personal and pretty good season for the team, right? Congrats, you know, second team All-Canadian. It's more than I'll ever be able to say for myself.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. First question I have here is the regular season started off 1-5 and then somehow miraculously all the way to 14-6. So right. I'm wondering, was there a certain turning point in the locker room or on the court or something where you guys were just sort of got together?
It wasn't so much a turning point in the locker room, but it was just staying with the process that we were on. We knew our schedule was tough to start the year. We had probably the toughest starting schedule of any team, playing both Vic and Alberta in the first couple of weeks.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, we knew those would be two teams coming down to, when come playoff time, those two teams would be pretty strong and up there. So we understood that that was going to be the case. It'd be a tough start. Mm-hmm. We had expected ourselves to be better than we did, but ultimately.
So it sort of just kicked in gear, right?
Yeah.
And then it was winning time?
Yeah, and then, you know, it just stuck with us. You know, we stuck together and worked it out. Yeah. And,
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it.
Oh, all right, yeah, I shouldn't be interrupting you. People want to hear more about you than me. second question. What was it like to take on more of a leadership role this year? What was it like to be the old man of the team?
It's, it's kind of grown into it, been around a long time. So
was it, did you learn a lot just taking that leadership role? Like,
was it
a cool experience for you?
I did. It was great. I think it comes partly with time, partly with growing up and, understanding and being around for a while to figure out what it is that really you need to have to get the team going.
Yeah.
And, the experience is a huge part of it for me.
Mm-hmm. Now we got to talk about yourself.
Okay.
Individually. So I was looking up your stats, 50% from beyond the arc.
Yep.
And about 83% free throws. How did you get so good at shooting the ball? How? It doesn't make sense. It's not human.
Hey, shooting has always been something that I love to do. I love to score the basketball. And when I was a kid, I didn't dribble the basketball once during a game. You know, I just spot up, and shooting the ball was my thing. And so, like, over the years, it's kind of, you know, everything else kind of came together. But I wouldn't be getting to the free throw line in high school very much because just be spotting up, shooting shots. So
I bet everyone loved to see that.
No, it's like, for me, I knew I had to expand my game. And, the shooting of the ball, to me, honestly, it wasn't so much about, you know, getting up a certain amount of shots in the gym per day. It's more a mental thing. It's a feel. And so, like, I would shoot the ball to a point, like, you know, if my shot was feeling off, I'd make sure I get in the gym, make sure I get it on point. It's like
my co-host, Sean, wants to know what your BPM was. We couldn't see it on the website. BPM being bounces per minute.
Bounces per minute.
Yeah, he wants to know how many times you bounce the ball every minute.
In like, if I had the ball for the full 60 seconds, or are you saying, like, you know, during a game?
During a game, yeah.
Dribbling's not necessarily the number one option. Usually, you know, you try to create something in the fewest dribbles possible.
Yeah.
You know, so in a possession, like, it depends if you get the ball or not. You know, we had a lot of weapons on our team, so depending on who had the basketball at certain times, it really depends. Sometimes in a possession, you get five dribbles a minute. I don't know. It's really a tough one to say. That's an interesting stat to try to keep track of.
So your stats, you know, like they're pretty sparkling. You know, first in points, first at the line, eighth in steals. So you're just monstrous on both sides of the ball. But then I'm looking down and I see 98th in disqualification. So what happened there?
Disqualification is something you don't want.
No.
You know? No.
Not even if you. So it's not. It's not something your coach would be like, you know, loving the passion from you. He wouldn't say that.
No, not at all. Disqualification is like the whole idea in basketball. You want to keep yourself in the game. So if you're number one disqualifications, that means you're essentially you're cutting yourself out of the game.
Yeah.
So that's not really good, a good reflection of any kind of.
So it's actually good that you got none.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. Now we're moving on. We want to get to know you as a human being.
All right.
Do you have any like pregame rituals that you follow every time? Like any pregame meals or something? Superstitions.
Superstitions, no. But it's just I'm the guy that I go with how I feel. So yeah. it varies. Usually, sometimes I'll feel lethargic during the day. I'll take a nap. That makes me feel good for the game. That's not always something that I try to get done. It's just a matter of, like, if I feel like I need it, I'll do it. The one thing I've really figured out is, you know, when I want to eat before a game. So I usually eat about 4.5 hours prior.
Really?
That's the one thing I try.
You don't get hungry or anything?
Honestly, it's something that I realized I didn't like feeling, like, comfortable in terms of, like, going into a game, like, fully comfortable.
Yeah.
It's something that... Huh. You know, I kind of get close to the edge of being hungry again towards the game, but I kind of liked it because it kind of kept me on edge. It kept me awake. It kept me aware, you know, the kind of just uncomfortable feeling. If I felt comfortable, I found like I could get complacent during a game.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. You hear some people like eat huge before the game, but...
I play awful if I did that. It's just, that just completely screws it up for me. I get cramps and everything. So
well, maybe you would play less great, not awful. I mean, I play awful. How tall are you?
I'm 6'6".
Okay, because me and my co-host are probably about 11 feet and a half combined. So how do we get taller? Do we have a chance?
If you're past 21, then I'm probably not.
Oh, damn. Well, I won't shoot the messenger on it. But like, did you? Did you eat super healthy growing up? Or
I don't know. I was a hungry kid, so you know, food needed to be on the table and kind of support my compulsive eating. I joke about always crediting milk for getting me to height. You know, because I'm a big milk drinker. You know, some people I know aren't.
Chocolate. So. Or?
Oh, 2%.
2% strictly. 2% like you never go skim or whatever.
Skim is just not the same. No, I'll drink skim. I'll drink skim if I have to, but 2% is always my number one choice.
All right. Well,
and drank about 4 liters every other day. So
really.
Oh yeah,
You might be onto something there. That's a damn lot of milk.
Well, like a nutritionist said, like you know, drinking milk, especially as you get older, and you know, not as beneficial. I questioned it. I was like, you know, my body loves milk, so should I stop it? And they said, you know, if it's working for you, go with it. So I really don't know. It's another one of those feel things, you know. I feel like your body can tell you what it wants, what it needs. So if my body wanted it that badly, might as well give it to it.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah, you're doing something right, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Any plans for the summer beyond?
Well, the summer's about figuring out the next step.
Right.
And finding, you know, putting the tapes out, trying to see if whatever's the best fit.
Yeah.
And, it's just a chance to find myself again. You know, been a university athlete for the last 6 years, been in university for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a completely new chapter in my life. You know, it's coming to a close in a couple of weeks. So it's about just growing and as a person, you know, learning new things and, see what happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, best of luck. I'm sure you'll figure something out. We're not going to keep you any longer. You can get back to whatever it was you were doing. Anyhow, thanks a lot for coming on. If you're ever
no problem.
Feeling like you want to come back on, you're always welcome.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Also, Sean and I are looking for a third person for our 3-on-3 team. We do a thing. We do a thing down at the show. We challenge anyone to 2-on-2. Maybe if you want to play with us, we could use a big.
Cash prize?
No, just... what's the word I'm looking for? Street cred.
Street cred, right.
Yeah.
All right, I'll consider it.
All right, man.
I'll let you know.
Thanks again. All right,
thanks.
All right,
yeah, no worries. All right, bye.
It's time to unlock the bathroom door and talk about Crohn's and colitis. They're lifelong diseases. They're on the rise among children under 10, and they involve severe abdominal pain, chronic diarrhea, and for many people, life-altering surgery. They're mired in secrecy and embarrassment, ignorance and fear, which only adds to the pain. It's time to make it stop. Crohn's and colitis. Make it stop for life. Visit crohnsandcolitis.ca.
Okay, we are back. It's almost time for us to go as our friends from across the hall, our Tuesday night friends, are here. And that means we don't want to be around for much longer.
Yeah.
They're very loud. They play, I don't want to sound like an old man, but they play this god-awful music.
It's truly obnoxious, yeah. And they keep the door open while they play it, so everyone can hear it.
It sort of sounds like we're standing on the side of a tunnel where a bunch of cars are passing all the time.
Yeah, that's a good way of describing
it. Or like an airplane is constantly flying, taking off above our heads.
Or someone's shitting in our ears.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
It's almost time for us to go. We do have to attend to our mailbag. And we are just going to call it the mailbag because last week you brought up that maybe that's sort of sexist, not like calling it one gender. But I looked it up and it's actually M-A-I-L.
Oh, really?
Whereas the gender is M-A-Y-L.
Well, why do they call it the mailman?
I think you're thinking of milkman.
I don't think I am.
last week we asked the fans of the show to email us.
And we got some emails.
And we got some actual emails. The question we challenged last week was, what is the worst sports jersey you've ever owned? And why? And I'll just read it off here. This guy named Mitch said, I'm just going to read the emails off straight up, so I don't know half the time. Anton Strahlman paid me $50 to buy his jersey on the Columbus Blue Jackets, so that is the worst jersey I have. Also, Brendan Morrow, Team Canada, is pretty bad, too. Much love, your homie till death, Mitch Krebs. I don't know if Strahlman paid him $50, but...
If that's true, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's not good. I would love to have a Strahlman jersey.
And $50. Sounds like a pretty good deal.
Brendan Morrow, though, Team Canada, that's a bad jersey.
I don't know anything about Team Canada, so I can't even comment on that.
Yeah, well... He's just not that good. He was always that one guy who everyone was like, him, like you're not going to pick all these other guys, but you're going to take Morrow.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Anyhow, he's completely fizzled out. He's still playing. I can't even remember where right now. But yeah, that is a bad jersey.
What's your worst jersey?
My worst jersey?
Yeah.
My worst is also my best. So 2005, 2006, I got a Chris Pronger on the Oilers. Jersey.
Okay.
Very highly touted defenseman. He was a superstar. We didn't have superstars forever. So
you don't have superstars.
Well, now we do. They just don't know it yet. So he came on the team and he was just absolute gangbusters. He was so good. He carried us to the playoffs.
I remember that. Yeah.
And he carried us to game seven, all the way to game seven of Stanley Cup finals, all on his back. He was the best player in the world for that playoff run. So great jersey, right?
Right.
Wrong, because about 1 month after, sometime during the summer after that magical playoff run, he demands a trade, and the rumors were that he had a fling with the weather girl on Global TV or whatever. I don't know if that's true, but his wife, it was confirmed that his wife told him he had to demand a trade. She said, or else we're going back to St. Louis. So Chris Pronger came and went, and he was so loved and then so hated for so long. Now I think it's hilarious to have that jersey.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, what's yours?
Well, growing up, I was a Red Sox fan. I'm still a Red Sox fan. And 2003, pretty tough season. Lost the Yankees in 7 games.
Right.
And you know, Johnny Damon was my favorite player, center field. I always wanted to be a center fielder as a kid. He had that beard,
That's the guy from Celebrity Apprentice, right?
Yeah. So in 2004, they win it. I'm like, cool, I'll get a Damon jersey. And then I thought they were going to re-sign him, and he said, I'll never sign with the Yankees. And I was like, okay, well, even if he goes somewhere else, I'll still get the jersey because he was such a great player. He was my favorite player on the team that year. So I bought it, and then he immediately signed with the Yankees.
Yeah.
So I just have never worn it. I've never worn it. No,
I'll trade you for that jersey.
No,
I also have a honorable mention. I have one of those V Canuck jerseys. They're so ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought it off eBay, and I've washed it so many times, and it smelled really weird since I got it.
Well, you have some bad jerseys.
Oh yeah, I have a lot of bad ones.
See, I have so few. Everyone matters, you know.
Yeah.
Next email.
Next email. Yeah. So you want to read this one off?
Sure. Hand me the.
Here you go, PC.
All right, yeah, I got this. Okay. Hey, Ethan and Sean. Wow, sports really is fun on CITR. absolutely love what you guys are doing with the show.
Oh, that's nice.
Just wanted to hear your thoughts on the NHL's recent proposal to decrease the length of penalties taken in overtime to 1 minute instead of the regular two. I think it's totally retarded, but would love to hear what you guys think. Keep up the good work. From Sam. Well, Sam first, Bennett. Sam, you can't Sam be saying... Bennett. Sam Bennett. That's you can't be said, saying yeah. the R word.
R word, yeah.
You can't be saying the R word. That is offensive.
Say, I think it's totally...
R-tarded.
Or just weird.
Yeah, I think it's non-normative.
There you go.
That's
oh yeah, that's a no-no.
Yeah,
that's a word that we would get written up for. So we didn't say it.
We didn't. We were just quoting.
Keep that in mind. We did not say that.
Let's get to the actual question though.
So I'm pretty sure that there's the league GMs are getting together and voting on rule changes right now, as they do every year. And I'm pretty sure this rule of going penalties in overtime to 1 minute is conditional that overtime changes from 4-on-4 to 3-on-3.
3-on-3?
Yeah, which I would absolutely adore to watch. That just sounds so fun. And so if that's what it takes to get 3-on-3 overtime, 1 minute penalties, then sure. But also I can sort of see why. It's like, if you take a penalty and it's 3-on-3, then is it 3-on-2?
Yeah, that's
like,
pretty...
That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think it's totally dumb, but I think it is a little weird. I don't know. Usually in the NHL, what happens is they have all these outlandish proposals, and then they make a big steam about it.
And then nothing happens.
And then nothing happens. Yeah. So I think we can count on that one.
Thanks for your question, though.
Thanks for the question. Here, we got one more. Hi. Give me your thoughts on the future for Derrick Rose from both his perspective and the perspective of Chicago Bulls management. From Ben. I like the demand. He's right to it. He doesn't have to flatter us.
No, he doesn't.
Pretend that he listens to the show. What do you think? What do you think about Derrick Rose? I think he's coming back.
Well, yeah,
again.
He's supposed to be coming back this season. So if I was Derrick Rose, from his perspective, I would be frustrated, obviously. But I mean, if he thinks he's coming back this year, then I wouldn't be too worried. It's not like his career is really in question. I mean, I guess
it's kind of in question.
I don't know. If he's coming back this year, that means the injury wasn't that serious, or he wouldn't be, you know what I mean? Like, he missed a whole season as the ACL, or two seasons, you know?
Yeah.
This is going to be, like, what, a quarter of the season he missed? Half? I don't know.
What do you think the Bulls do if he has a 3-4 month injury? With each injury, it's not like his body's getting any better. Once it returns to form, it's no better. It's only worse.
Well, I mean, he's going to have to change. If he wants to keep playing, he's going to have to change his play style. You know, he can't be doing the Russell Westbrook charge the basket with all your might every play. Like, that's what he did for early in his career. That's why he was so good. Do you know when his contract runs out?
No.
I wonder.
17, I think?
Because the second part is, computers.
Computators, yeah.
So if I was management, I would probably sign him to, like, a...
Till 2017 it expires.
Oh, he's getting paid a lot of money.
He's only making $20 million a year to not play a lot. There's a good job.
Well, at least the salary cap's going up in 2 years, so it won't look so bad.
Do you think they should look for a new number one, though? Or at least a number one B?
I don't think he's their number one. I think he's, like, their number four right now.
So who's their number one? Butler?
Yeah, probably Butler's score. You have Butler and Gasol.
Yeah, Gasol was a great signing.
Gasol. And you have Noah. I mean, like, they play their team, you know.
Well, they're pretty used to playing without him.
Yeah, exactly. So if I was them, I would think about, I don't know how contracts work in the NBA. I was going to say restructure his contract into something where he gets paid based off incentives, you know, for like games played or something. Because, you know, his next contract's going to be really interesting, especially if, say he comes back next year and he puts up like 16 points a game, 5 assists, and he plays the whole season.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's pretty good.
But I mean,
and he could get better off of
it's
that.
Still tragic, right?
No, definitely. He was an MVP.
He'll be the best that never was.
Oh, there's other players. Like, about Greg Oden.
Yeah, he's very sad too. But I mean, Rose. I'm not saying what Oden would have done had he came in healthy, but Rose was like, he was the youngest MVP of all time.
That's true.
They're like, it's obvious, like, people love to draw comparisons to Michael Jordan, especially when you play for the Bulls, but who knows? He wasn't going to be a Michael Jordan.
He was special, though.
He was special. He could have easily been the best, maybe the best point guard of all time.
I think he could still have a solid career. I mean, he'd have to avoid injuries for the rest of it and be able to come back. He'd have to find a new role as
solid,
a jump shooter. But
solid, but not like it, not like people once thought.
Oh, of course not. But that, I mean, ever since the second injury, so this was the third injury, the most recent one.
Yeah.
Ever since the second one, I think that dream was dead. Should we do the next final email?
Yeah, final email. I don't think this is much of a question.
This is more statements.
I don't even know. It's just the lines. You can read
here,
it.
Here, I got this. Hi, guys. March means madness. Basketball is the ultimate jazz sport. So many buzzer beaters, people are worried that it may be considered assault.
All right.
Who is your favorite player in the tournament? Mine is Mamadou Ndiaye. Final Four, Elite
I think
Eight.
I think it's Daye.
Final Four, Elite Eight, Sweet 16. Why not add Thunderous 32? I never want credit for this. I come up with the word pictures from my head. Sports is fun is great for thinking of things.
You're damn right.
45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Just kidding. It's time for basketball at school. Keep up the great work. Biggest Fandango, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Wow, that was...
Yeah, we
needed that.
That's your second email to us.
I think Kevin also donated $1 during Fun Drive.
I think he did, and then... Never actually.
Did never actually pay.
Yeah, but I mean, in today's economy, it's tough, right?
And a dollar goes
a
long way.
I want him on the show. He's our only. He's like our biggest fan.
I mean,
send in
he's
two
consistent.
Emails.
He's consistent with his
two emails, $1. I think that's probably enough. Enough to get on our show. I guess we don't really have a question to ask. Oh right. So we got to open up the bag for a new week of discussion. We are challenging the listeners. Email in your final four picks, and if you get them exactly correct, then Sean and I will eat. One of us will eat a lemon, the other one will eat an onion.
I'll eat the lemon
on air. One, we'll have to decide.
No, I'll
anyhow,
eat the lemon.
You have to get all four of them correct, and if that sounds too hard, maybe we'll come up with something.
Oh,
else.
I mean, if they don't have to pick the things before it, it's not that hard. Right. Picking just the four teams. I mean, I've done that before.
Okay, well, don't brag. Well, yeah, you
I'm just saying it's possible.
You have a radio show. Not everyone's.
That's true. Everyone, we're savvy.
So, yes, give us your picks at sportsisfun on CITR@gmail.com. Only fill out the final four. That's all you need.
Yeah, we
and
don't
then
want.
And we will eat an onion and a lemon.
Yeah.
Also, give us an idea. Sean and I are competing against each other in our brackets, and we want an idea for what the punishment would be for the loser. So email us.
Yeah, send in your ideas.
Be sadistic.
Yeah, get freaky
get
with
creative.
It.
Get creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to hear it. I love the thrill of the gamble. And so the higher stakes, the more fun I'll have watching it.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, email us. Sportsisfun on CITR@gmail.com. Just running out of time here. Birthdays happen every week.
There are more and more birthdays. It's insane.
Yeah. Mia Hamm, happy 43rd, American legend, soccer legend.
Queen Latifah, 44.
Happy 44.
Also.
Last Holiday, great movie.
Wonderful.
Bobby Orr, happy 67th. Okay. Birthday this week.
Adrian Peterson, 30.
Yeah.
That's all we'll say about that.
yeah, four legends, as always. And, these two legends gotta go.
No, we gotta get out of here.
So good night.
And good luck.